Welcome to Dish Nation, everybody.
Hey.
Sherry, what are we dishing today?
Well, we are going to tell you how someone went oops upside Nicole Kidman's head. I mean, it sounds painful, but we'll explain.
And Arsenio Hall reveals how the late Johnny Carson lent him a helping hand.
Also, Demi Lovato isn't into baby gender reveal parties. We'll explain. But Sherry, what you got, mommy?
All right, Chewy. So, during a recent interview, singer Eric Benet, he opened up about why he thought he and ex-wife Halle Berry were about to spend their lives with each other. The singer revealed that he was not quite prepared for the limelight that came with being with Halle Berry and that came with being Halle's husband. But he thought that, you know, because he was marrying an artistic, weirdo person like himself, that they would make it. Check it out.
Regardless of the fact that you're in a relationship with Halle Berry, for me, it was just, I'm in a relationship with this artistic person who's, in a lot of ways, is weird like me, and that's cool, but no one can prepare for what happens when you're trying to still figure out how to deal with each other and maneuver through your relationship when you are living in this fishbowl with this huge spotlight on it.
Oh, that's stupid.
Sharon, does Halle strike you as a weirdo, or did Eric misread her altogether?
You know, Frank, I think, you know, when you're together with someone and nobody's watching you and you sit and talk, we're all weirdos. And I think that they probably had some connection in being together.
Okay.
But the Halle Berry brand is not a weirdo.
Well, I think weird is cute in the beginning of any relationship. When someone's weird and quirky, it's cute. And then there's a fine line between weirdo and annoying.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, no.
That's when you've fallen out of love with me.
That your weird becomes annoying?
Well, I think my wife didn't realize what a goofball I am.
I dated a guy one time, and he met me at a comedy club. And for 2 years, he would always go, why are you so loud? Why do you tell all your business on stage? And I'm going, but this is who I am. Like, I just started stand-up.
Right.
And he was so critical of every... If I was silly at a party, he'd go, you need to be more mature. You need to be... And I felt my self-esteem was, like, crazy.
Sherry.
He hated everything.
Out of here.
And I go, why are you dating me? But everything about me, he just did not like.
Right, like he's trying to take your soul. That's part of who you
are. Why is he dating you? Look at you, Sherry.
Yeah. I mean, lately, too.
And then I married him. Mm-hmm. I married him. Did what anybody, any normal, dysfunctional person
Sherry,
would
do. Sherry, I'm married. That's 1A?
Oh, man.
Is that 1A?
No, it's 1.
All right, well, Keith Urban almost had to pull out a can of whoop-ass at the opera. You don't hear that phrase very often, people getting a fight at the opera. But this happened. They were in Australia, and the Australian singer was with his wife, Nicole Kidman, and her mom. And they went to the Sydney Opera. Classy night out.
The opera house,
Well, that's right. And at the end of the opera, which is usually what happens, everybody sort of stands up and says, encore, encore.
Yes.
Right.
So Keith Urban... And Nicole and her mom stood up, but the guy behind them was saying, you know, please sit down. Can you sit down? Well, they didn't listen. So the guy took out his program and he swatted Nicole Kidman with it.
What?
Oh my gosh.
Hell no.
And Keith was like, that's not a program. This is a program.
And what did her man do?
Yeah, no, Keith Urban did not fight him.
He didn't?
He called over security.
I'm going to tell on you.
He called over security to handle the situation, and the bodyguard.
That guy's opera glasses would have been permanent. I just knocked him right back into his face.
You want to know that your man could handle some stuff that goes on. Now, I understand people are litigation happy, but I want to know my man. If somebody hits me, then my man going to come in and do some stuff.
Like, just without even thinking about it, he's like, no.
You hit my wife with a program? Are you insane?
My lady, you hit my wife with a program. You hit Sherry with a program. You hit Heidi with a program. The program's going in your throat, and I would do Dish Nation from my jail cell.
Chewy.
I love it.
I love you, Chewy.
This story goes to show you never know who's got your back. So during an interview on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, Arsenio Hall talked about how the late Johnny Carson was of Arsenio Hall. And behind the scenes, he actually helped him book guests. Take a look at this.
Like, sometimes Johnny would come across someone he thought was really great, but he didn't discover talent. Me being the young guy, I would put on a new Mariah Carey or a new Will Smith. And they would give me names, like they gave me Usher Raymond once.
Johnny Carson told Ed McMahon to tell Arsenio Hall to book Usher?
Yes, and I think he said, make sure he knows about Sinbad.
But that never happens on Dish Nation. No, Billy Bush is never putting guests towards us.
No, but we don't get that. We don't get anything from Mario Lopez.
Come on, Billy.
Listen. I know for a fact that Arsenio watches this show, and shout out to him because I watched Arsenio growing up, and that's how I learned how to do interviews. And Arsenio Hall has had a tremendous impact on my career and my life.
He's that type of person that is so nurturing. And when you find somebody who like is a fan that you can call and ask for advice, it's so very cool to even know you exist on their radar.
And maybe he's so kind now paying it forward, Sherry and Chewy, because that was done to him.
Yeah.
He saw sort of like how Whoopi was with you, Sherry, in the beginning, and then you're kind for somebody coming up, and maybe that is what that's about. It's like, well, I got helped a little bit along the way by Johnny Carson, so I'm going to get my stamp of approval along the way.
I mean, hearing these stories basically, I mean, reminds me of like how me and Arsenio are so much alike.
What now?
What? Say what?
The giving nature
and the nurturing and the joy that, you know, he lets others feel.
Somehow in this scenario, I guess I'm Ed McMahon. I know that's how that's going to play out.
You're Doc Severinsen.
You get over there. How dare you?
Get on the horn, Heidi. Get on the horn.
My God!
Okay, so Demi Lovato has had another realization, y'all. The singer is totally against gender reveal parties, all right?
I'm not a big fan either.
Yeah. She let all her feelings be known in a 9-page Instagram post, and she said gender reveal parties are transphobic, and there are boys with vaginas and girls with penises. She also said that there are people who are neither boys nor girls. The idea that sex is based on genitalia is inconsistent with science.
No, that is pretty consistent with science.
Here's what I will say. In the beginning, Sherry, you've got a kid. In the very beginning, I would imagine, you know, and Frank got kids too. When you bring them home from the hospital, boy, girl, doesn't matter. They sleep and they poop, regardless of the gender. They've got, all you need is a white onesie and then Pampers. That's it. White onesie, Pampers. Right. Poop, sleep, pee. So in the beginning, it's like, boy or girl, who cares?
But when you're transphobic, Heidi, that's the you're malicious. And I think I had a gender reveal party with my husband for Jeffrey. And I think so when you, to throw the term that a gender reveal party is transphobic, that people are being malicious. It's just like when they tell you you're having a boy, you want to let people know I'm having a boy or a girl. We put labels on everything. Now, when he gets older and he says to me, Mom, if he says to me, Mom, I'm something different, then you're older. But when you're a baby, babies don't know nothing.
I had one gender reveal party, and that was at a bar, and it was for Heidi's wife. We wanted to know if it was a man or a woman.
Oh, that's right. Yes. And pink everywhere. Just pink.
Turns out, everywhere. Turns out it was a woman.
Okay, thank you for your insights, Frank. Coming up, Kelly Clarkson is writing her way out of heartbreak. We will explain after the break.
Dish Nation.
Welcome back, baby! Sherry! Let's welcome the Atlanta crew, ATL. What's up, baby? Portia, what you got, mommy?
Hey, Chewy, woo-wee. All right, well, when it comes to her divorce, Kelly Clarkson is finally telling us how she dealt with the pain. So the singer said, I have written 60 songs. It is an insane amount of getting it out. It's such an awesome thing to have an outlet, regardless of whether people hear it or not.
You know what? Whatever you're going through at the time or somebody close to you is going through, when you hear that beat, it all pours out. That is like a release for us. Like if you don't work out, if you know how to write, that is like a release. So you start talking about stuff. Like in a previous relationship, I was mad at somebody and I was like, really though, how much time you think I got? The clock is ticking and ticking away. You slipping away, the honey's on the block style. Cause if I got a drop kick a hoe, I'll kill her for sure and stick around till the murder occur. How you gonna creep with me and sleep with her? You know what I'm saying? Like really mad.
Yeah.
Can you put up a cue card?
Yes.
Damn,
I'm talking about who broke your heart and made a hit,
baby. What don't kill you make you stronger, okay?
Who broke your heart?
But you know what? I can see you taking 60 songs, because to be honest with you, when you break up from a divorce, you got so many different stages of healing
that you're going through.
Like, you're thinking about how you was before you met they ass, how you were when you was with they ass, how you feel after they ass,
how you gonna be good,
you gonna come back on they ass. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, wow.
Okay, someone else who had a struggle of their own is director Lee Daniels. Now, he revealed that his film, The United States versus Billie Holiday, is the first movie that he's directed sober. And he named the superstar, helped him get there. Now, Lee said, Patti LaBelle was the cause of my sobriety. I called her one night at 3 a.m. and I kept rambling at her. She said to me, you know God and you know Jesus. And I said, are you really going to ruin my high now? Oh, what are you talking about, lady? But I said a prayer, and that was the beginning for me.
Wow. I am just now finding out that he was not sober when he was directing movies, because he hollered at me in Precious during one of the scenes. He, like, went up, and my feelings were so hurt. He made me cry. Because y'all know me. I'm, like, just full of joy. I was so excited to be doing the daggone movie Precious.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a great movie. But when he hollered at me, I was like, what did I do? Am I not a good actress? But I'm cool now, because I know you was drunk.
I'm sure that Lee Daniels was under a lot of stress, and he had a whole lot of different personalities to deal with. Whether you're drunk, drink, smoke, do whatever, you're still a perfectionist, and you want your movies to turn out perfect. Even me as an artist writing, I could be drunk or high, but I still want to make the best project.
Yeah. It probably was a crutch for him.
That's why they call it liquid courage. People drink it to get courage.
Liquid courage.
Lee and I have had many, many dealings, and he said things, and now I know because he wasn't sober. But many times it covers up the insecurity, and you do that. You take that courage to get you where you want to be.
And I'm so grateful to Patti LaBelle for stepping into his life and helping him. And
absolutely,
he being open to let Auntie Patti help him. I love it.
Auntie's standing in the gap, okay?
All right, y'all, guess what? It's deal time. And today we got a 40-pack of Vessi K995 disposable face masks. K995 masks can help reduce exposure and bacteria and germs. And they also can protect you from pollen.
Hey, yo, they're highly breathable and comfortable with air loops for easy on and off. And the nose clip holds the mask securely, which keeps your glasses from fogging up.
And actually, you can never have too many masks. You can stash them in your purse, in your car, in the house. They're always there when you need them.
Ooh, trying, baby. You get 40 masks, honey, which are conveniently packed, honey, in a set of 5 per bag. So, Brad, how much are they?
Well, Gary, this 40-pack of K995 mask has been seen as high as $64 before our Dish Nation viewers. Y'all, it's just $19. Yes, you know what to do. Just go to morningsave.com and tell them Dish Nation sent you.
Up next, what rock star used the Backstreet Boys to embarrass his daughter? We'll tell you after the break.
Dish Nation. Dish Nation.
Well, it seems like rock star Bono is just like every other parent who likes to embarrass their children.
Nice.
His daughter, Eve Hewson, who's an actress and stars in the hit show Behind Her Eyes, revealed to OK Magazine how her dad used to blast the Backstreet Boys when he was dropping her off at school.
Wow.
And he'd get out of the car in his robe and Bono glasses and start dancing.
That's hilarious.
At her school.
She doesn't look at him as Bono because it's her dad, but all of her friends look at him as Bono. I'm sure that, like, bugs her to death because that's all they saw. So, in fact, but I think this one was just like, my father is freaking embarrassing me.
My mom would dress okay, but we had the crappy car. So the car, we had the big old Chevy Kingswood station wagon that had the gunshot sound. I don't know where that comes from. Yes. So when you, every time it would be, she would pull up. And so it would, if she was dropping me off at somebody's house or a, so I would go, just drop me here, drop me here, drop me here. And she goes, well, where's the building? Where are you going in? I'm like, just here. Cause I didn't want, cause it was embarrassing to be like, oh, there's Heidi's mom there. With the
smoke rolling out of the back.
Smoking. It's firing like it's a shotgun. God.
Sherry, if we were to ask Jeffrey, what's the most embarrassing thing you've done to him? What would he say?
Everything that I post on Instagram embarrasses him.
Okay.
He hates it.
Okay.
He's doing online schooling, and he does it in the kitchen. So I be forgetting that he's online, and I got a shirt with a taco stain on on and I don't have my wig on. I'm looking like Coolio with all the braids.
Real quick, Sherry, how does your 15-year-old son feel about your stripper video that you your pole dancing video, I should say, that you really just put up?
He hasn't seen it. I posted that stripper video. He might make me take it down, Heidi. I'm so scared my son's going to see it. Well, moving on, you guys know that breakups can be really, really tough, especially if you are in the public eye. So, Sienna Miller opened up to the Daily Beast about her days after finding out that her ex-fiancé, Jude Law, was cheating with their kid's nanny. You guys remember that back in 2005?
Yeah.
You remember that? Oh, man. That was so public and so messy. Now, there was a whole 6 weeks of that experience that Sienna Miller said she didn't even remember. She had no recollection of it. She said that people who came to see her, they said that they had dinner, but Sienna never remembered that they had dinner. She said all of it was such a shock. So for 6 weeks, she didn't remember anything.
Oh, yeah.
Enough with these nannies, ladies. No nannies.
That's why now, when I would get a nanny, all my nannies would be ugly as sin. You can't stop the cheating, but I ain't going to make it easy for you.
I want a 90-year-old Eastern European woman who was an ex-nurse.
But I know I blacked out. Oh. There were times that I blacked out that I don't even remember. And my girlfriends have to tell me, you remember we talked about, but then I don't remember nothing. Because it's so traumatic.
Right. You're in shock.
Well, I think this explains why she gave Jude Law another chance in 2009.
She did?
Back to the well.
I didn't know that.
So she doesn't remember what happened. So it's people who, like, they had a motorcycle accident and they still ride motorcycles. You're like, why are you still on motorcycles? You were in a coma for 6 months. Like, I don't remember the accident, but I remember I like motorcycles.
Wow.
So she went right back and got on Jude Law.
Wiz Khalifa might be a celebrity and well-known, but he couldn't get into one place. We'll explain after the break.
Hey, don't forget to hit us up on social media. We're on all these platforms. At Dish Nation. We'll see you there.
Dish Nation.
All right, rapper Wiz Khalifa and NBA superstar Kevin Durant are really, really good friends, y'all. But Wiz can't seem to forget the time that his homie KD, check it out, y'all, left him outside of the club.
Damn.
That's right. And Wiz said, yeah, man, he left me outside the club. We was about to go in the club, and they looked at him, and they looked at everybody he was with. And they was like, y'all can get in, but he can't. Damn. Durant was like, bro, I'm going to see you later, okay?
Oh, damn. Well,
if you roll to a spot together, you supposed to leave together. If the homies can't get in, go somewhere else.
Yo, HK, would but you if y'all still agree- go to the party, bro? Would you go home or keep it moving or go somewhere else?
My crew, we gonna go somewhere else. It's just so foul if you abandon the homies that you unified to go to a club with.
Right.
There's a thousand other clubs in the city. Go to another one. Cigar bar, hookah lounge, something.
So, Portia, have you ever had to leave somebody outside the club, or was you outside the club?
Portia, keep it real.
So, I'm keeping it real. So, I did go to the club with a group of people, and one person couldn't get in, but I don't feel like I left her because another one of her friends was with her. So, they just went to another. She wasn't alone. She was with other people. So I felt like she was good.
Oh my gosh.
If you walked away, you left her.
Just so we're clear, if the bouncers say you can't get in the club, Portia will leave your ass outside. Period. All right? Leave your ass outside.
Guess what's so funny? Later on in the night after I got drunk, she appeared in the club and I was like, okay, bitch, you done got in. Like, what's good?
Okay.
Hey. Wow. No thanks to you, Portia.
Thanks for checking out Dish Nation on Audio Boom. Make sure you listen to any episodes you may have missed. They're right down below, or maybe they're over there. Just scroll up. Look, you'll find it. If you like what you heard, share it with your friends. Even share it with your enemies. Either way, share it.